put on, add to your faith, virtue. Add to your virtue, knowledge. With your knowledge, self-control, and self-control, steadfast and brotherly conviction. He's saying, put these qualities into your life. Work on them. He finishes, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Spiritual discipline is essentially the process of sanctification. God does work, but we have to be disciplined to obey him. He does the transformation, and we exert our effort to become more and more like him. As the Holy Spirit renews us day by day, we work to allow God the freedom in our lives and obey the commands that we've received from Scripture. He creates a new life, and we intentionally live that life. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Are we being renewed inwardly day by day? If we're not, there's something that we're not doing that we need to get started. Colossians 3, 1-10 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. But now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've been taken off of your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of the Savior. What's he says? He says there are things in our lives that we need to get rid of. That's basically what we talk about when we talk about New Year's resolutions. Well, I need to stop doing this and stop doing that. But it goes much deeper than simply stating with our mouths that we're going to stop doing some things. So with that background, we want to look at developing a plan for developing a life well lived. My personal belief is having one is essential. My personal experience is that it's life transforming, because it takes the theology of salvation and it makes it applicable to life. I shared with you before that I meet with Ken Daney on a regular basis, depending on what his schedule is. And Ken asked me one day, Tom, what are your life goals? How have you planned things out? I said, gave him a few pastoral answers. And he says, stop trying to pull my leg. He says, you gotta have a plan. You gotta know what you're doing. And we wanna try to do some of that as we're here this morning. We find it in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a wise man of understanding draws them out. Too often we find ourselves in our Christian lives swimming out in the middle of the ocean with no hope of being rescued. But God says we have within us what we need. We have to learn to draw it out on a daily basis. Most of us spend more time planning for a vacation or a holiday or a party than we do living the Christian life. Planning is a non-negotiable part of the Christian life. Most of us set goals, but goals often leave us empty, and they don't give us the stepping stones that we need to meet those goals. Few goals enjoy having real long-term success. In fact, experts tell us that most of us about 83% of us make New Year's resolutions. And by the end of January, 80% of us have already failed at doing that. Why is that? We need to plan to do what God wants us to do. When we choose life planning, we understand that every decision that we make either draws us closer to God or farther away from God. There's no in-between ground. Putting together a life plan doesn't mean that our life is going to turn out exactly the way that we map it. But it does mean that we take time to examine the depths of our heart. When I was talking with Ken, we took several months to work our way through. And his first question to me, he says, I want you to think nothing this next month except, what is your primary goal in life? What's the one thing you want to accomplish? And I came back to glorify God. To stand before him and have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He says, great, that's your starting point. The next month I spent going out and what are my roles? You'd be surprised how many roles you have. You know, right off the top of my head as we're working through this here this morning, I'm first of all a believer. So I have to make sure that I'm developing my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, this morning, I'm a husband, and I need to make sure that I'm developing my life with Diane in a way that brings honor and glory to Christ. Then I'm a dad. I have three kids who are all married, so I have six kids. And what am I doing to help them develop spiritually? I get so excited about that because I have a son-in-law who's a pastor. That means my daughter's a pastor's wife. I have a son who's a deacon and treasurer of his church. I have another son who's the assistant head deacon of his church and a youth leader. And what am I doing to help them to promote their spiritual lives? I'm also standing here in front of you today as a grandpa. I've got six great-grandkids. They're not my great-grandkids, they're just great-grandkids. My dad. And they've all trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But when they come and see Papa, am I trying to implant in them seeds that will help them grow spiritually? I used to be a pastor, now I'm an itinerant preacher. On that, I have a responsibility for each of you that are here. In fact, God will hold me accountable for what we talk about as we're together. I'm a neighbor. I'm a friend. And the list can go on and on and on. But what are the rules? And then what is my goal for each of those roles? And a good life plan would ask the next question after that. What am I doing? What are the steps I have to take to help them do that? To help them become the kind of person that God wants them to be. It puts us in a proactive rather than a reactive position. Most of us spend most of our time reacting to situations that we encounter rather than knowing ahead of time how we're going to respond when we get there. It focuses on things that are most important rather than the things that are urgent. I often say to people that I don't know how I had enough time when I was working full-time to get everything done that needed to get done. I don't have time now, but I'm retired. Well, it's because we let the urgent take over our lives so many times. Rather than putting the most important things first. James 4:14 says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist.